You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Kristen Palpini, managing editor with Daily Voice Massachusetts, and Ron Chmelis, reporter and columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper. Kristen, Ron, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
This week, representatives in Congress, U.S. senators, and even Republican governors from across New England called for the removal of President Donald Trump from office. That's after a mob of pro-Trump extremists staged an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Here's Congressman Jim McGovern of Worcester.
I am very worried about him remaining in office for the next 2 weeks. I mean, 2 weeks doesn't sound like a long time, but when you're talking about Donald Trump, it's a lifetime.
Kristen, all of the Massachusetts congressional delegation have called for Trump to step down or have the 25th Amendment invoked. No surprise there, I'd guess?
I guess not. People are ticked. They should be. I'm spitting mad still, too. This shouldn't have happened. It's embarrassing. It's anti-democracy. But it makes me nervous to remove Trump and put Pence in place. Is he going to pardon him? I'd hate to see that.
Republican Governors Phil Scott of Vermont and Charlie Baker of Massachusetts also joined the chorus of lawmakers this week, saying Trump incited the insurrection. Baker, long a critic of the president, had this to say.
Yesterday's events were appalling, disgraceful, and depressing. But it's important to remember that they were the culmination of months of President Trump repeating over and over again that the American electoral system is a fraud.
Interestingly, Democratic Governor Ned Lamont of Connecticut said Thursday he doesn't think that Trump should be removed and wants Congress to focus on the pandemic and uniting the country. Ron, the Democratic governor says keep Trump in office. The two Republican governors say get him out of there. What's your take on all of this?
My take is that I don't see how they can do it very quickly. And my sympathy goes to Joe Biden. He wants to unite the country. I don't think an impeachment in the last week, I don't think an attempt to invoke the feckless 25th Amendment, which clearly doesn't really accomplish what it was meant to. I just don't see the point of doing that. I'm one of those, turn the page. I understand what McGovern is saying. I also wouldn't worry about Mike Pence. There's nobody questioning his mental stability, for one thing. But I just don't think it's practical for people to say, let's rush through a removal now, because I just don't think it's going to happen. Let's get through these few days and move on.
The events in Washington overshadowed the end of the legislative session in Massachusetts. State lawmakers sent a flurry of bills to Governor Baker's desk, including ones dealing with transportation funding, economic development, and creating a new motto and seal for the state. Ron, this session ran months longer than normal because of the pandemic, and still, as has been the tradition on Beacon Hill, deals are struck late at night on the final day of the session without much debate or public input. What about this method of crash lawmaking at the last second?
Well, in every year except this one, I have taken them to task, and it's been embarrassing. The budget's always late. They always wait till the last minute for important things. They always do it behind closed doors. However, I will give them a little bit of slack this year. At least they did get some things done, and we can't go by the usual calendar in almost anything. So I understand what they were up against this time. As a rule, I think they should be much more diligent about timeliness, but this year's different.
Kristen, is there something that came out of this latest round of bills that caught your eye?
Well, I think that the thing that spoke to me most was the campus sexual assault language in there. And it's just another signal that states have to do these things on their own. They can't rely on the federal government to maintain the laws and protections that it's put in before. We've seen that deteriorate over 4 years. And so now states have to put them in action.
Ron, is there a piece of legislation that caught your eye?
No, I'm still thinking about the police reform bill that made nobody happy, which indicated to me it was probably a good bill. But no, there wasn't anything in particular that jumps out at me, other than the fact that they did get some stuff done. That can't be taken for granted under these conditions.
Also this week, the Springfield Roman Catholic Diocese says it's working with an outside organization to gather information and feedback from clergy abuse survivors in order to help them come up with a strategic plan with dealing with abuse claims. The head of a task force says the diocese is using the firm Stop It Now because many who suffered abuse are rightfully angry and disillusioned and may not want to speak directly to church officials. Ron, what do you think of this move?
Well, there's two schools of thought on what the Catholic Church should do. Number one, they have lost all their credibility and nothing they will do will be good enough. The other side of that is they have to try. And what I see in these attempts is the latest and probably most sincere efforts to try to say we're finally coming clean and being more transparent. Is it decades late? Absolutely. but I support what they're trying to do, because I think they have to try to win back enough people to convince them that they're serious about dealing with this.
The Springfield Diocese recently also said it would be adding the names of priests accused of abuse after they died to its overall public list of implicated clergy on its website. But there are some dioceses in Massachusetts that don't have a list available at all. Worcester is one of them, where the church says the names can also be found from other sources. Kristen, is it surprising to you that the Worcester Diocese is defying this national trend of transparency?
No, but it is disgusting. It seriously is. The list itself is gross that they wait until these guys die to put them on blast. These are people who have been found to have repeatedly hurt, sexually abused children. And they're not being held accountable, not by the Catholic Church, not by the Worcester Diocese.
Ron, what do you think of this method that Worcester uses? They say they announce clergy names when they're accused, and they get it out there in the news media, but there's no compendium of names anywhere on their website.
No, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. They don't understand why people have had it with this, and they've had it with this fandango around the truth. And that's why I say that the diocesan people who are trying to be transparent are up against their own history, and this does not help. I have no sympathy for the people in Worcester who are bucking this trend, because the trend is the trend in the right direction.
And finally this week, Northampton Mayor David Narkowitz announced that he would not be running for re-election this year. This follows a similar announcement from Holyoke Mayor Alex Morse. Kristen, two big open seats in the region. Will these be hotly contested races, do you think?
Oh, I definitely think so. Last time in Northampton when this happened and David got elected, it was after Claire Higgins stepped down, feeling like she had done what she came to do, just like David felt like he came what he wanted to do. So there's going to be a lot of interest. It's going to be a big field.
All right, Kristen Palpini with Daily Voice Massachusetts and Ron Chmielis with the Springfield Republican. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. You can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.